final caller here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
I was really, you know, I'm a new listener to this Oracle Broadcasting Network, and you're the second show that I've turned into, and I was completely shocked by the garbage that was coming out of your mouth.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Shocked. Keep listening. You need to get shocked more. All right, go to hell. Actually, you know what? I hung up on it.
You know what? I can report you to Benai Blith.
What's that?
I can report you to Benai Blith. You'd be off the air right now.
My balls are falling off as you say that. I'm so afraid. Fuck you. Fuck
you're an ignorant asshole. You're an ignorant asshole. You don't know nothing.
Fuck you.
You don't know.
Said, fuck you, you Jew cunt. Oh, there I did it now. Oh, I said the forbidden word. Sorry for those out there that are offended by that word. I was using that word quite a bit last night on Pal Talk. It's still fresh in my mind. I got to make sure I don't use that so often because it slips off the tongue real easy if you use it too much. But hey, pal, fuck you and the camel you rode in on, okay? You and all your Jewish supremacist bastards are going straight to hell. You're pissed because you know that people are finally catching on to your propaganda. They're finally waking up to what the hell's going on. You bet your sweet ass they are. There's a grand-scale awakening, and your little scheme for global domination is falling apart right before your eyes, and that's why you're shitting yourself, because you depend on keeping the goyim in deception, keeping them under the crushing weight of your lies and your propaganda. It ain't working anymore, asshole, okay? You're done. You're finished. Just like I told that bitch last night. It's over for you bastards. The whole world community. Oh, yeah, you got the politicians in your pocket. But it doesn't matter when multiplied billions of people around the world are waking up every day, far, far outnumbering and surpassing your phony sellout politicians. It's just a matter of time before people collectively wake up and kick your asses, finally, once and for all. And when they get kicked, you will never ever rise again. It will be indelibly etched in the collective mind of humanity. I mean real humanity, Gentiles, real human beings who reject Judaism and all of its bullshit, Jewish supremacist bullshit. It'll be fully, indelibly, and eternally etched in their minds that Judaism is the most evil curse that mankind has ever faced, and you will never rise again. I'll give you a few more seconds here. We got a few more minutes left in the show for entertainment purposes. Anything more to say, asshole? Oh, looks like you already hung up. Hell, screw you. All right. Hey, what do you know? I haven't had a real scumbag caller like that for a long time. Just as well. Oh, they get my dander up, folks. But there you go. There you go. This is a classic example of what we're dealing with here, folks. You know, what's he arguing? That what I'm quoting from a Jewish website, is evil? I'm exposing their filth, and that makes me evil. Yeah, it's evil of me to expose their evil. Why? I should just keep my mouth shut and let them commit their crimes. I'm going to report you to Benai Barith. Jew Crime Central. screw you, you piece of shit. All right, guys. Well, what do you know? We got another 3 minutes here left. I guess I can cover.
Well, and you thought I was bad. I'm a really peaceful, nice guy.
Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. so get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
I don't know who that guy was at the beginning there, but he was a wild man. He's a wild man, talking about those Jewish supremacist stuff, you know. Ain't gonna turn him into the B'nai B'rith, I'll tell you, the Anti-Defecation League. Boy, you better watch out. Well, Brazil, Rio, is getting dirtier and filthier than ever, and they got that Zika mosquito down there, and already they've got a lot of cases, and these female sports people going down there are nuts. They're playing Russian roulette. Also, they got shootouts going in the street, just like the Old West down there. And here was a bodyguard, or not a bodyguard, but a guard down there in Rio, was caught raping a gal inside the Olympic Park. Sounds like it's going to be a real circle jerk down there with turds floating down the creeks and everything else where these guys are going to swim. You better keep your mouth closed when you swim in that stuff. You know, the bitch only was ahead in the polls one day in July. Otherwise, Trump's been ahead. Hillary, you've been a naughty girl. Hillary Clinton touts her tenure as Secretary of State at a time of hard-headed realism and commercial diplomacy that advanced American national and commercial interests. Is there anything else in this country? But her handling of a major technology transfer initiative at the heart of Washington's effort to reset relations with Russia raises serious questions about her record. I think she's wants to get that Cold War stuff going again. Far from enhancing American national interests, the bitch efforts in this area may have substantially undermined U.S. national security, whatever that is. The national security you got to worry about most is being sold out by your own leaders. You don't have to go to any other country. Consider Skolkovo, an innovation city of 30,000 people on the outskirts of Moscow, billed as Russia's version of Silicon Valley and a core piece of Mrs. Clinton's quarterbacking of the Russian reset. See, they'll do anything on all sides to make money. Following this 2009 visit to Moscow, President Obama announced the creation of a U.S.-Russia bilateral presidential commission. One week they're saying Putin's a criminal and a dictator, and the next week they're doing business. Mrs. Clinton, as Secretary of State, directed the American side, and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov represented the Russians. The stated goal at the time was identifying areas of cooperation and pursuing joint projects and actions that strengthen strategic stability, international security, economic well-being. That's the main one, economic well-being for the rich, the big corporatists, the predatory capitalists, and the development of ties between the Russian and the American people. I don't think they're trying real hard at the working class level. In fact, I think they're trying right now to start a new Cold War situation. I think so, man. Like I tell you all the time, you can't trust any of these people. You can't trust them at all. Putin either. All you guys that think Putin's great, well, Putin does some things that are good, but a lot of things that aren't good. People with that kind of power can never be trusted by the working class.
This is my new alert system for whenever.
With the right and left losing voters by the day, it appears third-party options are gaining supporters in droves. The latest Washington Post ABC poll reveals an interesting look into what exactly is happening in this historical election season. 17% of Republican voters have left their party due to their dissatisfaction in Donald Trump, with 13% of those voters finding a new home with Libertarian Gary Johnson. On the Democratic side, more than 1 out of 5 Bernie Sanders supporters now back either Johnson or Green Party candidate Jill Stein, with 10% favoring the Libertarians and 11% going with the Green Party. One disadvantage this fall for Stein will be the Green Party's absence on certain U.S. states' ballots, while Johnson and the Libertarian Party will all of them. For Viewer, I'm Kevin Kenney.
Well, one thing they're forgetting that during the primary, millions of people re-upped into the Republican Party, re-registered. So if he can be down, Trump can be down 17%, but be up 50% in overall registration. This is getting to be funnier and funnier. Well, I was going over a book report here that I'm not sure whether the guy's a Jew or not, but it was about the Nazi leaders in Germany. And one thing caught my eye of these examiners who examined them psychologically, all these guys at Nuremberg. And one of the examiners' name was Douglas Kelly. Disagreed with Gilbert. He thought that the Nazis displayed profound moral failing rather than a mental disease. In spite of his disapproval, Kelly seems to have bonded with Goring and a few others. Bizarrely, the emotional troubled Kelly, who was a professional magician as well as a psychiatrist, committed suicide 12 years after Nuremberg in his living room in front of his wife, his parents, and his children. He swallowed a cyanide pill, the same method as Goring had used. That's an interesting little side story there. I'm going to send you a book report on this book. It's obviously not sympathetic to the German leaders, but it's all about the psychological aspects and the theories and all that kind of stuff, and some history thrown in. So I'm going to send it along to you and see what you think. Well, let's take a trip up to the Hamptons. You know where that's at? That's up there in New York, where all those Manhattanite rich people go. Let's see what they're doing during the election here. The presidential race pervades the cocktail parties of the wealthy who visit the Hamptons, the summer haven of Manhattan's rich, and the workplaces of the permanent residents who serve them. The conversations rarely overlap. Stars of Wall Street and Hollywood, who enjoy the beaches, hedgerow estates, and $100,000 a month rentals, talk about income inequality and expanding economic opportunity. Residents who provide the seaplane set with everything from lobster to massages rail against overregulation and worry about the country's direction. Yeah. For the past 2 weeks, the nation's conversation has been dominated by the party nominating conventions in Cleveland and Philadelphia. If there's common ground in the Hampton, it's the many voters are dissatisfied with both candidates. Democrat Hillary Clinton and former New York senator who vacations in the Hamptons and has deep ties to Wall Street, and Republican Donald Trump, the Queens-born billionaire real estate developer who shuns the playgrounds of New York's wealthy for a Mar-a-Lago, his own seaside resort in Florida. Oh. You have two very flawed candidates running against each other, so there's a lot of reasons not to vote for each of them, said Byron Wien, vice president of Blackstone Advisory Group Partners, LP, during a July 15th party thrown by Stephen Scheer, the chief executive officer of Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, the company's consumer division. A lot of working people feel their life is not as good as it was, said Ween, an 83-year-old sporting yellow linen slacks on his evening's first social stop. Quote, "We don't really know how the local people feel," said his wife Anita, who is chairwoman of the Observatory Group of Macroeconomic Consulting Firm. Republican domination of the Hamptons has faded, mirroring its lost influence throughout New York, said Damon Hagan, the party's leader in Southampton. Democrats have registered city-dwelling part-timers as local voters, a tactic that Hagan said has stifled the voice of the local community. The two sides rarely discuss politics with each other. You have a dichotomy between the super-rich and the full-timers, said Stephen Gaines, a Sag Harbor author, whose Philistines in the Hedgerow recorded the Hamptons' transformation from a stretch of farms and fishing villages to a haven for the wealthy. Quote, "You want the guy who mows your lawn to show up?" Unquote. Mike Babinski, 58, a fourth-generation farmer in Water Mill, a Southampton hamlet, whose median home value is more than $3.6 million, said some locals may identify Clinton with summer people they blame for the skyrocketing housing costs and crawling traffic. You know, Hillary is having a fundraiser today or tomorrow. Not at the Hamptons, out west someplace. $33,000 a plate. Now, how many working people do you know are going to be at that thing? $33,000 a ticket. She and Bill Clinton have been summering there for years, and last August, the couple spent $100,000 renting an oceanfront estate for 2 weeks while she attended fundraisers, according to the East Hampton Star newspaper. At his farm stand, offering fresh raspberries, tomatoes, and corn, Babinski said he's leaning towards Trump, even though some of the things that come out of his mouth you have to shake your head about. He has Latino farmhands, and that doesn't make Trump disparaging Hispanics, who are good, hard-working people and just would like to be citizens. Well, I don't think they give a shit whether they're citizens, as long as they make some money. And they're not Hispanics, because Hispanics are traditionally white Spaniards from the Iberian Peninsula. You're talking about greasy mestizos. "You can't vote for Clinton," he says, "because of the way she talks. She's not a real person. This is the best this country could come up with," he said. "Can we get any lower?" Well, the more rich they are, the more lower they'll get. It would be a mistake to conclude that there's unanimity inside either group. Billionaire investor William Wilbur Ross this month had 61 summering Hamptonites and visitors show up at a lunch with Trump. $100,000 for co-hosts, $25,000 per couple at his Southampton retreat, including real estate developer Richard LeFrak, New York Jets owner Woody Johnson, and Skybridge Capital Anthony Scaramucci. Other politicians fail to understand the depth of feelings of the middle-class America, Ross said. It's probably the most important sociological and political phenomenon afoot today. When you think about it, the middle class has gotten a bad deal. Oh, yeah. You feel for them, don't you, buddy? One Republican who declined the invitation was Alex Navab. Sounds to me like he's a raghead. Head of the KKR and Company, LP's America's Private Equity Division, said he intends to vote for Clinton. "This rage that's going on, I'm worried," says Navad, who owns a house in Southampton. After watching each convention at his Wayne Scott home, Ween said Friday that Clinton gained ground when she attacked Trump's assertion that only he could solve the nation's problems. Well, maybe that's true. She turned his egomaniacal tendencies into a liability, Ween said. Mike Vegesi, 63, skipper of the Lazy Bones excursion boat that runs half-day fishing jaunts out of Montauk on Long Island's eastern tip, said that he's been willing to overlook all Trump's faults because I'm sick and tired of establishment politics, which he says are dependent upon wealthy donors. One measure of the competing points of view could be found in the store selling merchandise indicating support for the candidates. At the Fudge Factory on Southampton's Main Street, owner John Johnner kept a tally of chocolate bars wrapped in likenesses of Clinton and Trump until someone paid $300 for all his 100 remaining Trump bars. East Hampton Monogram Shop had been selling plastic cocktail cups emblazoned with Trump and Clinton logos for $3 apiece. At 5:07 p.m. Saturday, Clinton cups were sold out after the store moved 1,706 of them. According to its red, white, and blue hand-lettered sign, it sold 1,598 for Trump. Brooke Needish, a New York philanthropist and jewelry designer married to Daniel Needish, former managing editor for real estate at Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated, has spent summers at their home in Georgia Capon on Wainscott for years. It hurts, she said, when someone speaks ill of part-timers. My children grew up playing with the year-round kids, she said, at a party she hosted at the Whitney Museum of American Art. I want affordable housing for the people who work here. I want to move a lot of niggers in here from Manhattan. And some mestizos, too. My husband votes here, and of Clinton, she said, this woman has been fighting for us, for children, for education, forever. Meanwhile, on the manicured lawn of the Amagansett home of Andy Sabine, 69, a Republican who owns Sabine Metal Corporation, the larger independently owned precious metal refiner, the largest independently owned precious metal refiner in the U.S., are two signs reading Hillary for Prison, 2016. People drive by and give me a thumbs up, Sabine said. Hillary would associate with a rat if it would give her money. Wow. Some Hamptonites try to tone down the rancor. At Nick and Tony's East Hampton restaurant, managing partner Mark Smith said bartenders inject a joke when disagreements get heated. People aren't talking about policy, he said. They're talking about people. We try to keep it light. An extreme attempt at civility is practiced by David Bonnet, a 60-year-old philanthropist and technical entrepreneur who has a house on Lake Agawam. Bonnet, a Clinton supporter and an Obama appointee to the board of Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, threw a birthday party for a friend and offered cakes featuring likenesses of Trump and Clinton. He'd planned to entertain the guests with a Trump impersonator. After reflection, he flew in a Clinton imitator as well. I had to make sure things were balanced, he said. No one in my group wants to strain any friendships. As you see, that's the way the rich operate. They know that the ruling class is going to run the show, no matter who wins the presidency. So just relax, lean back, have yourself a beer, and don't worry too much about it, because you've only got, you almost got only one enemy. And a lot of them stay over there at the Hamptons, not in the ghetto. Oh, I forgot to tell you, things are going great up in Chicago. The black KKK boys, so far this year, they've killed 360 or 70 people. As of today, how about that? Give me a big hand for the black KKK.
My It was plain old racism and nothing else, were the words Simone Sanders, Bernie Sanders' national press secretary, chose to describe being on the campaign trail. In an interview, Sanders, who was not related to the candidate, said she was often stopped by venue staff from even entering events. She said when she told Bernie Sanders and his wife Jane about security refusing her, they were horrified. Bernie Sanders spent a little extra time in the part about race relations in America and racism in his speeches after Simone was refused by security, saying once, "This all goes to show that we have come so far in so many places in our American life, but in politics we still have some ways to go in terms of staffing and representation on various levels."
Well, I bet two bad white boys over there in Toledo, Ohio, two white men in Toledo, Ohio, have been charged with a federal hate crime in hitting a black man. Authorities say the men drove past the black man who was unloading his truck outside his home on May 18th, then circled back, got out of the truck, and attacked him while yelling racial slurs. They say Charles Butler grabbed a broom from the man's truck, hit him with it several times with that broom, man. Really screwed him up. Federal authorities say two off-duty police officers and two other people broke up the attack. Federal and local authorities say the attack was motivated by race and that Butler made Facebook posts about it, saying it was in the name of the white race. Federal charges were announced on Friday. Butler, 33, and James Pachalis, 25, both of Toledo, were being held Saturday in Lucas County Jail. No attorney information was listed in the jail records. Well, there you go. Don't you go hitting no black person with a broom, please. And in Tinley Park, Illinois, a Tinley Park man charged with a hate crime hit his face in his hands and cried out, "Oh my gosh, I can't pay that," when a judge set bail at $100,000 Friday afternoon during a bond hearing. Elkanaka Asher, 4, 29, who is also registered sex predator, was arrested when he spewed racial slurs at an African-American woman earlier this month, the prosecutor said. The woman, who is a student at the Tinley Park Beauty School at 15900 block of South Harlem Avenue, went out for a cigarette break around 2:22 p.m. July 28th when she was approached by Asher and a male acquaintance. The prosecutor said Asher began yelling at the woman, "White power, black lives don't matter, and you niggers need to go back to Africa." After he finished yelling the racial slurs, she threw a can of Ice House beer at the woman. Well, that's why he's gotten arrested, wasting beer, which landed about 4 feet from her. She grew alarmed and called the police because that man threw a beer can at me. Police arrested Asher at his residence. His friend told police that Asher made racist statements. You see how much money it's costing the taxpayers for all this bullshit? You realize how much the court, the cops, the lawyers, and everything want to cost the taxpayers? Just so they can say, "We got that boy, that white boy, we got that white boy." Well, here's a hate crime that ain't a hate crime. CTA riders on alert after recent armed robberies and stabbings on the streetcar. WLS-TV up in Chicago, I guess. CTA riders are concerned after a spike in crime in recent days. Police say the men showed a black handgun. The black men showed a black handgun and used black pepper spray on their victims. Well, here's another terrible story here out of Dearborn, Michigan. Police are investigating whether a Detroit area transgendered woman was a victim of a hate crime after a bar patron made derogatory remarks about her before she was attacked. Dearborn police responded about 1:50 a.m. They should all been in bed by that time. Wednesday and say the woman told them she was stabbed in the back and struck in the face with a bottle outside the bar. Police said those involved argued and had been removed from the bar. Police say the woman was treated at a hospital and released. You sure she was a woman? No, I don't think so. In a video on Facebook, a person who identifies herself as Courtney Purvis says she was attacked because she is transgender. Oh, wow. Let's see here. Lieutenant Gary Mann tells the Detroit News the investigation includes whether it was a hate crime, and it's in its preliminary stages. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's getting tough out there for transgendered people. My advice is everybody go home by midnight. This after midnight shit always causes trouble. After that European vote to separate England from the EU, hate crime's up 60% in Nottinghamshire. The number of reports of hate crime in Nottinghamshire shot up about 60% after the UK's decision to leave the European Union. Well, that's what I'm telling you. Nothing's going to promote racism like anti-racism. Anti-racism is doing much more to create new races than you'll ever know. Well, I guess those Brits are anxious to get them out of there. They figure, rough them up a little bit, maybe they'll get on out of there.
Action says it is proof positive that he was denied entry into a downtown Grand Rapids bar. He says because he is black. But tonight we are one-on-one with the bar's general manager, who says this is all a misunderstanding. 24-hour News 8's Barton Dieters is in studio tonight with the story for us. Barton.
Well, right, Leon. An incident at a popular Arena District bar has captured the attention of social media and started a debate about racism amidst the city's bustling nightlife. 27-year-old Marcel Price describes himself as a poet, a teacher, and an activist. But Friday, he was out showing off Grand Rapids' hip downtown scene to some out-of-town friends when he stopped at Ionia Avenue's Tavern on the Square just before closing time, only to be stopped by an employee.
It was like just puffing out his chest, like aggressive, like, can you come in? And I was like, is it like the dress code or because we're black? He actually said it's because you're black.
Here's what he then recorded on his phone.
Play it one more time.
The video, posted on Facebook and shared elsewhere, has ignited a debate about whether what we're seeing in that video is racism, sarcasm, or something else.
People in the comment section, like in the video and stuff, were like, oh, he seemed like he was saying it sarcastically, he was joking. And it's like, I want to know, where is it okay for the white person of privilege to make the black joke at the four black people?
Price says, and he is backed up by many online, that what happened Friday is no isolated incident in downtown Grand Rapids.
I want people in Grand Rapids to realize that this is an issue. Like, I didn't go out that night thinking, hey, I'm going to find somebody who's racist and find them and make them slap a phone out of my hands.
Tavern on the Square general manager Michael Weinrich said his employee was just letting people know it was closing time and that they were not allowing anyone else in the bar. He says his tavern is equal opportunity and there is no discrimination allowed.
I think it's a large misunderstanding. No, I believe he started recording a lot after a lot of antagonizing and provoking.
What about when he smacked the phone out of his hand? Is that something you're cool with?
I mean, no. No, I saw the video too. I mean, I didn't see it happen. That kind of thing. It's, you know.
Said what happened to him Friday was disappointing, but not surprising. He hopes by making this incident public, it will inspire bars downtown to think about their policies and inclusivity.
Well, and Barton, it really goes to show you the power of social media. I mean, this is really taken off online. I think I saw more than 60,000 views on this. the owner or the general manager say anything about this impacting business?
He claims that it hasn't had any impact. He says that this is just a social media phenomenon and not really indicative of anything that really goes on at the bar.
Okay. All right. We will continue to watch this play out, Barton. Thank you.
They just don't get it that social media is spreading racism like mad. They don't understand the way this works. Well, let's get back into Matt Hale's book here and read a little bit for the rest of the show. I did about an hour of video show, and I did it wrong, and the audio came out wrong, and I had to do the show all over again. Cussy dern. Anyhow, while those who call themselves conservatives usually claim to exalt tradition, they ignore their race, which creates the traditions in the first place. We racial loyalists, on the contrary, declare that no traditional facet of life, whether it be constitution, state, union of states, custom, or anything else, can be more important than our white race itself. And if it takes ending a constitution, state, union of states, or anything else created by man for the matter to preserve our white race and end the present threat against its cultural, genetic, and biological survival, we must do it. I think I read that yesterday. A constitution can be good, a flag can be good, a custom can be good, but the white race is always better. No document, no flag, no political order, no mode of living, no way of thinking can be more important than the race that creates such things or created them in the first place. Hence, tradition is not the true issue. The true issue is our white race that created all the traditions. Our first loyalty thus has to be to ourselves, with all the creations of our hands used to preserve and advance ourselves and our race. Conservatism as an ideology and loyalty is thus in error because it takes attention away from our race, where it belongs, and places it instead on the mere facets of existence, past and present. We racial loyalists instead place the continued existence of our people first before all else. No constitution, no matter how good it might otherwise be, is going to save our race from genetic annihilation. No flag, as pretty as its colors and configurations may be, is going to do the same. Nor does duty to any creation of our forefathers remotely equal our duty to the future of our race. Many, if not most, right-wingers and conservatives could not care less about the fact that the white race is today being destroyed, and hence they do nothing to stop it. In fact, they're enhancing it. We racial loyalists must not compound the error by referring to ourselves by such misguided terms and by ennobling those who do not deserve any association with us in process. We must identify ourselves only with those who share our loyalty to our kind and not ossify ourselves with the parlance of the rotten status quo. So-called conservatism and the right wing, to the extent that they have never been favorable to our racial existence at all, have obviously failed miserably to halt the cultural, genetic, and biological assault on our white race. That is a reason enough to jettison such worthless terms and loyalties. Agreed. Only racial loyalty describes the true crux of the issue. If a man is loyal to his white race, then let him call himself such, and not some other term that obscures or confuses where his true loyalty lies. It is the task of the racial loyalist party to preserve the white race and to assert its best interest in all things and at all times. That implies that the indeed necessitates a certain flexibility towards all presently existing facets of society that have failed thus far, for whatever reason, to protect our existence and to defend those interests. If the present order of things were so good, so worth conserving, we would not be in a mess, quite simply. Waving the American flag is not going to save us, that's for sure. extolling the merits of the American Constitution or that of any other constitution is not going to save us. Correct. Indeed, the courts today use the Constitution to destroy us by ruling that any laws aimed at preserving the white race are unconstitutional. Yes, it was different at one time, but the way things were at one time is not the way they are now. And to get back what was good in the past usually requires radicalism, not being conservative of the present. Conservatism is thus a needless distraction at best, a sepulcher at worst. Our values must serve our race, not our race our values. Neither left nor right, but white is the issue. We racial loyalists will create whatever institutions necessary to serve the best interests of our race, not force our white race to serve whatever institutions presently exist. The distinction is critical. Small government, fiscal responsibility, and the protection of valuable traditions is unobjectionable in itself, but that is a matter for our white race to decide. Such principles cannot be allowed to be the tail that wags the dog. We are the masters of all ideologies, traditions, and institutions. They are not the masters of us. It is our racial existence that decides the kind of world that we wish to live in. We do not allow the present world that we live in to decide whether our race continues to exist. Thus say we racial loyalists. What is sad is that many who immerse themselves in so-called conservative thought are inherently racial people, but whose racialism is submerged, straitjacketed, and suffocated by their conservatism. They are led along an errant path, a path that condemns any explicit attachment and concern for our white race in any respect in favor of mere ideology that is divorced from their blood. Since there are supposedly, as far as the controlled mass media is concerned, only two broad political viewpoints, the right wing and the left wing, conservatism and liberalism. Conservatism panders to so many disparate elements that the concept of racial loyalty is never allowed to rise its head above the water. The non-whites can be conservative as much as our white people. It is happily proclaimed, and since there is a never-ending sideshow battle of the conservatives against the liberals, the conservatives make themselves as non-racial as possible so as to gain as much non-white conservative support as possible. All the while, our white race, its survival, its interests, its future, is utterly ignored. Then the present and future of our white race are thus sacrificed to a vote. The vote of the next election is elevated over the welfare of our own race, and since it's thought that the election cannot be won without an appeal to the non-white constituents, anything racial in the white race's favor is dispensed with. The conservatives thus fight for the Constitution, our values, the free market, small government, traditional marriage, and other mere creations of the white man, while ignoring the fact that our white people's culture, genes, and very lives themselves are being relentlessly destroyed while they play around with their raceless conservatism. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. I'm going to cut it a little short. I'm a little pooped out here. Doing really two shows in one day, plus all the research that goes into this stuff. So I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday, and maybe we'll send you out another video show. We'll try it again. I'll try not to screw this one up. 14-5.